Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
In my dream, I saw planets burning in the long night, and armies of the dead overrunning the cities of men. All in a dream, and all so very long ago. Or maybe it was just yesterday. All stories come to an end. In time.
Graphic Audio presents the conclusion of Simon R. Green's Deathstalker Coda. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Michael Glenn, David Coyne, Vanessa Benjamin, Corey James, Nanette Savard, MB Van Dorn, Lily Beacon, Elizabeth Demery, Sonny Lasky, Bruce Allen Rauscher, James Konacek, Chris Rowan, Jeff Baker, Ken Jackson, Kate Torrey, Andy Clements, Christopher Walker, James Lewis, Thomas Penny, Stephen Carpenter, Dylan Lynch, Michael Replogle, Terrence Aselford, Tess Rowan, and Mort Shelby. Deathstalker Coda Part 2, Journey's End.
Admiral John Silence sat straight-backed in his command chair on the bridge of the Havoc. It felt good to be back in the military, to be involved, to be hands-on, instead of pulling strings from the shadows as Samuel Chevron. He never felt entirely comfortable in his role as humanity's secret protector. He'd always been happier when things were out in the open. He could do subtlety, but it didn't come naturally to him. And he enjoyed the open respect he got from the crew of the Havoc. He might not be as much of a legend as the Blessed Owen, but he was one of them, a military legend. Which was why they had preferred to be led by him rather than by the ex-champion with a legendary name.
Comm officer, check the formation of the fleet. Make sure that all of the Mistworld and Viramont ships are keeping up and holding their positions.
Yes, Admiral.
Silence didn't really need to be told. He always knew when some of his ships were going astray. His two times in the Madness Maze had changed him, enlarged him, if not so ostentatiously as Owen and the others. The layout of his fleet was as familiar to him as his own body. He also knew that there were disloyal elements among his crews, knew it even before the loyalist graffiti began appearing down below. He had security people looking into the problem, but he doubted it would come to anything. If the loyalists were a real problem, he would have known by now. Silence knew all kinds of things, except how to be the legend that everyone else needed him to be. He was a soldier, and that was all that ever really mattered to him. But he'd already noticed some of his crew studying him covertly, hoping for miracles, and interpreting even his most innocent remarks as signs or prophecies. It was to avoid just such nonsense that he'd faked his death over 100 years ago. Captain Price kept wanting to hover at his side, but Silence kept him busy with other duties, partly because he needed someone willing to deal with all the scut work that Silence couldn't be bothered with, like seeing all the loyalist graffiti was cleaned off the down-below walls, but mostly because Captain Price got on Silence's nerves. He was just too amiable, too obliging, always too ready and eager to serve. Silence knew his sort. They'd been rife in Lionstone's day. Political soldiers, ready to bow with every breeze and side with whoever looked most like the winning team. Such men were to be made use of, but never trusted. And besides, there had only ever been room for one person at Silence's side. Ever since he'd taken his place in the command chair on the bridge of the Havoc, Silence had seemed to feel Investigator Frost standing beside him, as she always had. Silence didn't believe in ghosts, but sometimes the sense of her presence was so real, so overwhelming, he felt he could just reach out and touch her. It had been over 200 years since Frost had died.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?